Because looks are everything. Because looks are everything.
Get down, get down.
The Auto Bright Direct Podcast.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode, or the next episode, of the Auto Bright Podcast. I am Mark. I am the CEO of Auto Bright Direct. And in the room this time, we have Mr. Kevin Prince to the left of me.
Back again.
How are you, Kev? You okay?
Yeah. Oh, even better. I've just seen you a little bit of a jig to the intro music.
Can't beat a jig. So, in the room also, we've got a mystery guest.
He certainly is a mystery to most people, yeah.
He certainly is a mystery. Mr. Mystery Guest, would you like to reveal yourself?
Hello, everyone. It's Nick here from Auto Bright. Oh, very appropriate there, Mr. Moss. Very appropriate.
Well, we thought, you know, it's been the Auto Bright podcast. I thought you might have been from B&Q or somewhere.
Oh, I could have been, couldn't I? Oh, no, I thought about that one.
With the orange T-shirt.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Well, how are you, Nick? You okay?
All right, mate. You?
Yeah, I'm okay. Would you like to introduce yourself to everyone?
So I'm Nick. I'm one of the detailers that works with Kevin and Mark. Oh, sorry. Kevin just shaking his head. I don't work with him anymore. No, I don't. I work on my own now. Get in. yeah, I'm one of the detailers. There's myself and Mark that's in the bay. I've been here for about 18 months now, I think.
Wow.
That's a long 18 months.
That's too long. Sorry,
it's
Nick.
No, it's not.
Bye. So you've been here 18 months. You work in the detailing bay. You get to do a lot of nice cars, lot of bad cars.
I do, yeah. One red Beetle. I mean, red Porsche being one of them.
Ooh. You just wait now.
I do believe you give Mark the worst jobs anyway. Mark tends to get the really bad cars, doesn't he?
I know, yeah, but he's like, I missed that truck. I did really want to do that Al 200.
That's what you get for having holidays.
On your jollies, then, should you really? Okay, so Kevin and Nick are in the room with us today. So today we're gonna talk about our first step of our six steps.
Yeah, so
detailing.
The first in our series of the six steps of detailing, which is a segment we've got on our website, which will, you know, give you the information and the products that you need to do your car from start to finish. And they're the six individual steps. Today, step one, wheels and tyres.
Fantastic. So a lot of our customers want to know how to effectively use the products and the best way to do it. So we're gonna tell them everything, basically.
No, Nick, not everything.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Keep that to yourself.
Sorry.
You be quiet.
I'll set my corner.
So I'm going to fire some questions over to, obviously, you, Kev, and you, Nick.
Okay. Oh dear.
And then hopefully you'll give me a decent answer.
I'll try.
I wouldn't bank on it.
Yeah. Don't forget, obviously, our wonderful customers want to know, you know, the basis of wheel cleaning, which, you know, the the most effective way to use the products and the best way to do it. So we're here to do, we're going to tell them.
I'm going to pass on our in-depth knowledge.
Okay. So wheel cleaning. So Kev, why do we start with the wheels? You tell everybody why you start with the wheels.
Well, technically, you would, if you're doing a thorough detail, if you're doing something like a winter preparation or something like that, you would actually start with the wheel arches. because if you do the wheels first and then you come back to the arches afterwards, there's always a possibility that you're going to drop a lot of the mud and the debris and stuff from inside the arch onto your nice clean wheel. So you want to get the arches done first, and then we can begin with the wheels themselves.
Yeah, you don't be cleaning the wheels and then cleaning them twice.
No.
No, nobody wants to do that except for Nick.
No, I don't.
You like cleaning wheels, Nick?
I do not like cleaning wheels at all.
Okay, so while we're on that subject, then Nick, what is your chosen AD wheel cleaner?
Bright gel. Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to do a very good wheel cleaner?
It is a very good wheel cleaner. That's why I use it.
Do you want to tell everybody why? Why you like it so much?
Don't need to dilute it, for one. You don't need to use as much as people think. Mm-hmm. A lot of spray and agitate. The necessary AD tools, really.
Okay, so obviously, you know, what we try to get across to our customers with the AD products is less is more.
Oh, yeah,
that's what we're trying to say. Okay. Brygel is a very, very good, extremely good product. It's one of those products that is so, so easy to use. With it being a gel as well, it kind of sticks on the surface.
Yeah.
Ready for agitation and rinse. So yeah, so that's one.
So essentially what you're saying is it's a very simple product.
Yeah.
Very simple product to use.
That's why Nick likes it.
Ooh. Ooh.
But what we haven't told people as well is the reason why we do the wheels before we do the paintwork. So Nick, why do we do the wheels before we do the paintwork?
I don't know actually, Kev. Go on.
So we do the wheels before we do the paintwork. The wheels are going to be the dirtiest part of the car, with the exception maybe the wheel arches. We want to make sure that the wheels are clean before we do the paintwork, just mainly for the fact we don't want to spray debris from the wheels onto your nice clean bodywork. So again, you know, you're going to run the risk of having to clean the car twice. If you do the vehicle first, then you do the wheels, all that dirt that's coming off the wheel with the pressure washer has got to go somewhere.
True.
Normally, straight up the side of the vehicle.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Kev, would you want to tell everybody what your chosen wheel cleaner is and why?
One of my most commonly used wheel cleaners will be Varichain on acid. And that really is down to the fact that it's so versatile. So you can use it neat. You can dial it from 5 to 1 to 10 to 1. 9 times out of 10, you're going to use the 10 to 1 dilution. It's a really easy product to work with. It's a thinner product than Brightgel, for example. But when used with a foaming trigger, it provides a really nice layer of foam, and it's very, very economical. So that's one of the wheel cleaners I tend to use the most.
Fantastic. Okay. I mean, we've popped a foaming trigger on it as well. So it's, you know, when it comes out, the foaming trigger onto the wheel, it's quite...
Yeah. You've got a much thicker layer of cleaning product.
Yeah. And obviously, it sticks on the wheels as well. So it doesn't move. So. Okay. So... We've got another couple of wheel cleaners in the range. Okay, one of them is Varichain Acid. So we don't talk about acid, Varichain Acid, that much really. But when it's used on the right kind of wheel, in the right, you know, situation, it's hard to beat.
Yeah, I mean, Varichain Acid. It's a product that the valeters will use, maybe so more than the detailers. If you get a vehicle in that's got really, really neglected wheels, they've not been cleaned for a long time, and you're not sure if, they're one step away from needing a refurb maybe, then give acid a go. Acid might just allow you to get that, that extra little bit of cleaning power, some of that really baked on brake dust. And it's just a last ditch attempt before a refurb, really. acid isn't a product that you would need to use regularly. It's probably something you'd use, maybe the first time you buy a car. If you're buying a used car, for example, use your acid first time you clean it and then maintain it then with your non-acid products. Also prevents any further wheel degradation, especially if they're curbed or they've got any lack appeal or anything like that. You're really careful using strong products like acids.
Because, I'll be honest, back in the day when I used to clean vehicles.
You clean cars?
Many moons ago, yeah.
Just making sure.
Probably better than you, to be honest.
Well, don't you still have a free car wash at anyway?
No, mate.
I swear there was a bet somewhere.
There is a video floating around on Facebook somewhere.
There is a video, isn't there?
Oh, they can carry on floating away.
Oh, okay.
I'm too busy to wash cars.
Right, okay.
Don't like floaters.
No, don't like floaters, no. So, moving on. So basically, in the day when I used to clean vehicles, trucks, I used to use a lot of acid because they're the kind of vehicles that I used to clean, trucks, truck wheels, a non-acid product just wouldn't touch them. With acid, you can generally spray it probably one application, agitate and rinse and you're done. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very good, effective wheel cleaner. When it's diluted, it is hard to beat, to be honest. But as Kev said... You just got to watch what you're putting it on, kind of wheel service. Is there any particular services that you wouldn't put acid on, Kev?
Well, again, you want to assess the condition of the wheels before you use an acid, so make sure there's no, elements of clear coat peeling. I probably wouldn't use an acid on diamond cut wheels. Maybe powder-coated wheels as well. It really depends on the individual vehicle. A lot of the issues you might find with the wheel cleaner come down to poorly refurbed wheels.
Yeah.
So the wheels have been refurbed, not been correctly clear-coated or clear-coated at all, then you can run into issues with products. Any particular products, even something like, you know, water and shampoo, can leave marks on an uncoated surface.
Yeah, okay. So, okay then, and that obviously goes for, I would have thought, for matte wheels, Kevin.
Yeah,
matte,
so
kind of satin finish wheels.
Matte and satin finishes. I mean, again, I wouldn't recommend using acid. Although, you know, to be honest, if you dial it down, you know, sufficiently, you shouldn't have an issue. But I would stick with non-acid. I would stick in non-acid wheel cleaners most of the time anyway, to be honest.
Yeah.
But acids, they do have a place, but I tend to think that acids are far less used now than they were, for example, sort of 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I mean, you know, it's used for getting the job done. And once the job is done, then, you know, you can go back to your normal wheel cleaners, Bright Gel, Very Cherry, non-acid, for, you know, kind of your weekly cleans.
Yeah, yeah, as definitely a neglected surface would benefit from an acid.
Okay, so let's kind of move on to the tools then. So I've got one big tool to the right of me. Hello, Nick.
Hello.
You're still in the room, then?
I'm still here, mate, yeah.
Oh, we're going to talk to you. We're going to talk to you now. We're not going to leave you out.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, I thought you'd gone home.
Not at all.
So the tools then, Nick, that obviously our lovely customers will use with our lovely products. Do you want to go through a few of them?
Yeah, can do. So the main one that I use all the time when cleaning wheels is the big spoke wheels.
The large spoke
wheel brush.
Yeah, yeah.
To get to the back of the barrel with my Bright Gel.
With your Bright Gel?
Yeah, so spray it on the wheels and spray on the brush. You want to do the back of the wheels first. You don't want to clean the fascia and the spokes first and then go to the back.
Mm-hmm.
The reason being is, obviously, you're moving the dirt from the back of the wheel to the front where you've just cleaned. Mm-hmm. So do the back first with the big spoke. We do have a mini spoke wheel brush for multi-spoke wheels. So you can use that as well. And then the DBS brush for the wheel nuts.
For where your nuts are.
Where my nuts are, yeah. Or your lug nuts, whatever.
Where your nuts are. Wheel nuts.
Yeah, wheel nuts.
Wheel nuts, yeah. Okay. So you're cleaning your wheel nuts with the DBS brushes. And don't forget, you know, we've got two types of DBS brushes now. We've got the DBS set and we've got the DBS Pro. So do you want to talk? Let's talk about those. DBS Pro first.
DBS Pro is mainly use them on like gloss black because they're really soft. So
you'll be really careful on gloss black wheels.
Yes, yeah,
it can be. It
reminds me of your BMW. They were gloss black.
And they were. Yeah, they were. Okay, so yeah, you've got to be really careful. Gloss black scratch very, very easily.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
yeah. And then we've got the normal DBS, which are kind of a general purpose brush that you'd use kind of all over the wheel.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you can fit them, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Wheel mitts as well, Nick.
You've got the four-finger mitt, which you can obviously get around the back of the spokes that maybe you won't be able to get with your spoke brush or your DBS brush. So four-finger mitt, cracking to get around to the back of the spokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you got just a normal mitt you could use if you didn't want to. If you got an old mitt lying around. Obviously, try not to use it on a gloss black ones because you don't want to scratch them and swirl them up.
Mm-hmm. I think the smaller wheel mitts are a lot better because they kind of fit in your four fingers.
Yeah.
And then you can get through the spokes, into the back, on the back of the spokes.
Yeah.
And give them a good cleaning.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. So, and then obviously, your AD buckets, of course, that, you know, you've got all your kind of tools in there. And yeah.
Grit guard.
So, Nick, the four-finger wheel mitts, are they just for the spokes, or can you actually use them to clean your rim as well?
You can use them to clean the rim, realistically, as long as you can get your hand to the back of the rim. You can clean the calipers as well.
It can be difficult sometimes getting your hand to the back of the rim.
Yeah, just unless you've got big wheels. So if you've got, like, 20-inch wheels, realistically, you could probably get to the back of them with your four-finger mitt. And it's a good idea to do your caliper as well at the same time, really, because you can get onto the back of it with a four-finger mitt.
So I've got a question for you then, Kev. while Nick's kind of, you know, smashing the mic up over there.
Sorry. Ding, ding, ding.
I've got a question there. So what if somebody wants to take their wheel off, you know, and do a proper winter clean and seal, let's just say. DBS brushes, You know, I mean, you're doing all the wheel arch with some more other brushes that you're going to talk about in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
DBS brushes, you can clean your calipers.
So the DBS brushes, the standard DBS set, that's useful. You can use that for cleaning your calipers, suspension components, basically anything that's under the arch. You can also use it for cleaning the inside of the wheels. However, if you're taking them off, then you could just as easily get in there with one of the Hellshine brushes, so the short reach brush, that'll get in there as well. Depending on the condition of the wheels, you might even just be using wheel mitt and shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
Another four-finger mitt, realistically, then.
Yeah, four-finger wheel mitt and some shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that we haven't sort of touched on just yet is the fact that, obviously, when you start to do your wheels, you would normally do a plain rinse first to get rid of any loose contamination. if you know before you start the process that you're going to be removing the wheels, then most of the steps that we're mentioning will be done when the wheels are off the car. So, you know, you wouldn't necessarily clean the front of the wheel straight away. You'd give it a rinse, you'd remove the wheel, and then you start from the inside and work your way outwards. obviously working through all the steps right through to, you know, decontamination and clay boring.
Okay. So I want to touch on the next kind of process, really, for so you've cleaned your wheels. Your wheels are all nice and clean. Okay. I want to touch on tyres now.
Okay.
So you've got a lovely clean wheel, but your tyres are filthy.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do, Kev?
Well, a lot of people don't seem to realise that because the sidewalls of your tyre are black, you clean the wheels, and then you naturally, once you've done that process, you'd normally look at dressing your tyres. Now, if you apply a dressing to a tyre that's not been properly prepped, the dressing won't stick to the rubber. So you will find that no matter what dressing you use, you maybe get a week or so's durability out of it because it's sticking to dirt. So whenever it rains or you're driving your car long distances, that tyre dressing will fling off because it's not actually adhering to the rubber. So an important process is to prep the tyres by cleaning them. For this, we normally use Citrus Wash, which is an APC, so an all-purpose cleaner. Can be used to, you know, do a lot of different areas on the vehicle, but in this case, to clean tyres, we'd probably dilute it around about 10 to 1, 20 to 1, something like that. And then we'd use one of the Hellshine brushes, so we've got a short-reach brush that can be used to scrub tyres. If they are particularly dirty or they've never been properly cleaned, you may want to use like a stiff brush. So something like the leather brush can be used, or, you know, even if you've got like a nail brush or something like that. Whatever you can see on the wheel, the tyre is going to be as dirty, if not dirtier, depending on the last time it was thoroughly cleaned and dressed. If you want your tyre dressings to last, it needs to be applied to a clean and dry tyre.
Because you'll know about, how dirty the tyre is, because when you spray the citrus onto the tyre, you'll see horrible brown kind of goo.
Yeah.
Dirt.
When you spray whatever cleaning product you're using onto the rubber, if the rubber's particularly dirty, you will see like a brown runoff.
Yeah.
And nobody likes brown runoff when they're cleaning.
No.
You don't like brown runoff, do you?
Don't like brown runoff, no.
No.
If it's brown, it normally runs off.
Yeah, it does.
So we get rid of all the brown runoff.
Yep. Okay. So, and what you do is you repeat that process as well until the product that's running off the tyre actually starts to run white and it runs clean. That's the part, you know, where you know that the tyre is actually clean and ready to prep.
Another good thing is, obviously, because now we're using the foaming triggers on certain products, the citrus wash has got a foaming trigger. So by applying that, you'll see go from brown to white.
Yeah, it delivers more product. So during the foaming process, it takes on more of a white look than it does with a standard trigger. And also because it's foaming, it helps to agitate the rubber a little bit better.
Mm. Okay, fantastic. So that's all the wheels clean, that's all the tyres clean as well. Mm-hmm. So I think the next thing I want to talk about then, Kev, and Nick, you still with us?
I'm still.
You haven't fallen asleep yet?
I'm falling asleep yet, no.
Oh, fantastic. Is decon. Now, decon. First, before we start going into decon.
And do you want to say decon anymore?
Decon. Actually, there's a group in the 90s. Was it 90s called Deacon Blue?
Deacon Blue, yeah.
Yeah, great. Sorry, you weren't born in the 90s, were you?
I was.
Were you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was about 12.
So, decon. Purple Rain. Purple Rain. We've got a product called Purple Rain, and it is a decontamination remover, not a wheel cleaner.
It's a decontamination product. It's actually an iron and fallout remover.
But it can be used for wheels, as a lot of our customers do. Kev, do you want to explain a bit more about this?
Okay, so Purple Rain, I think where most people go wrong is they use Purple Rain as a dedicated wheel cleaner. Excuse me. It's not actually a wheel cleaning product. It's designed to remove iron fallout and iron contamination that your normal wheel cleaner won't remove. So you may see pictures, people use it on Instagram, videos, things like that, where it's sprayed directly onto a dirty wheel. Now, don't get me wrong, Purple Rain will do a really good job of cleaning the wheel. The reason that we do this a lot on videos and things is because it gives you a better visual representation of what it actually looks like when Purple Rain finds fallout and contamination. So if you spray it onto a dirty wheel, you will get a really heavy purple reaction. Again, it can be used, you know, if you want to just spray it on and pressure wash it off, a really quick way to, you know, just give your wheels a quick rinse down, you know, maybe during the winter months, then yeah, it can be used that way. But the most effective way, the most economical way to use it is by applying it after you've used a dedicated wheel cleaner. So Vergeri non-acid, Vergeri acid, Bright Gel, any of the other wheel cleaning products that we do, you would normally use those first. And then you're using the Purple Rain to remove anything that they won't remove. So that's the bonded brake dust, iron contamination, and anything that's stuck to the surface, essentially. And obviously, Purple Rain can be used on paintwork as well.
Interesting. Okay. So we all love a purple wheel, a bleeding wheel.
Yep.
It's very, very effective, but you're saying that's not the correct way of doing it?
No, it's the best looking way of doing it. It's the prettiest way of doing it. But no, I mean, you will see if you spray Purple Rain directly onto a dirty wheel, you will actually notice it actually starts to dry out quicker because it actually essentially lifts off so much contamination from the wheel that it actually dries itself out. Okay. So you'll see it dry into like a, you know, almost like a patchy.
Like a film.
Yeah, like a film. Mm. Unless you rinse it off relatively quickly. Mm. A lot of people, I think where they get the idea from is if you use it on a clean wheel and you've actually done a really good job of cleaning it and there's not a lot of contamination on there, you won't see a lot of runoff. You won't see a lot of reaction.
Yeah.
So I think some people think that, okay, I've done my wheels with Purple Rain. I've seen no reaction. I must have done it wrong. The product's not working.
Yeah,
it's working fine. It's just that you've done a good job of cleaning the wheels, or the wheels are in really good condition anyway, and it's not actually found any iron contamination or any, you know, iron particles on there. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people like to see that purple reaction, and that's why they use it first.
It's all the social media side of things, realistically. It's like snow foam, isn't it? The thick of the foam, the better it looks on your Instagram and your Facebook and all this stuff.
Everybody likes a bleeding wheel.
Yeah, everyone likes it.
Purple's probably one of the best colours as well, you know. So.
Oh, God, yeah.
Did Jill pay you to say that?
She did, yeah. Jill's favourite colour. Anyway. Yep. So, okay, Nick, while you're awake, just tell me.
Always prod him again.
Tell me, you can tell all the listeners as well.
I was going to say.
Your procedure, or the procedure of decon. There's that word again.
Decon.
Decon a wheel. So you want to talk through it?
So wheel on or wheel off, we'll go through both of them. So if the wheel's on, then you want to clean the wheel first with your dedicated wheel cleaner, either Vergeri, Bright Gel or Acidic. As soon as you've done that, you want to use Purple Rain to remove the fallout. And after you've done that, go around with your tar and glue remover to remove any tight spots that are on the wheels. And if there's any excess glue from the old wheel weights that are on there, just being careful of the new wheel weights that have been put on the wheels. That's really about it. Oh, and clean it just to get rid of the embedded contamination on the wheels.
On the back of the wheels?
Yeah.
Right, okay. So, you got that the wrong way.
I got the way wrong around, didn't I? Yeah, I did. Yeah, bless him. Tar first and then purple.
Bless him. You're nervous today, aren't you?
Yeah. Because I'm sat next to you two, giggling and looking at me. Giggling. It's like pressure. It's
like pressure.
Under pressure.
Under pressure.
Pushing.
So let's not sing Queen, Kev.
Let's not sing.
No, that's not. So you're under pressure a little bit, but you're comfortable now, are you?
If you go out the room, I'll be all right.
Okay. So, again, would you like to tell...
I'll try again, should I do it the right way?
Yeah,
this
do
time?
The right way this
so,
time.
So, yeah, you clean it with your dedicated wheel cleaner.
Yes.
Very cherry or bright gel or acidic, either one. And then after you've done that, then remove any tar spots that are on there, just being careful of your wheel weight.
Ah, well, why is that then?
The reason being is the wheel weights are stuck with a glue, and the tar and glue will start to lift that glue from the wheel weight, and then you don't really want it to happen.
No,
to
remove it's like a sticky pad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a sticky pad, the ones that they pour on reg plates.
Yeah, right, okay. So obviously, you know, just the tonic being a tar remover.
Yeah,
so obviously
tar and glue,
yeah. So it will soften the glue.
Yeah.
And you've got a risk there of pulling the weights off, basically.
Best thing to do, realistically, if you're taking off the wheels, spray it on a microfiber and then wipe over the wheel. Mm. If you can't get back to the back of the wheel while it's on, then yeah, okay, you may have to spray it on and then use a brush or something to get to the back of the wheels.
Because just the tonic's really, really effective and you'll know straight away what it's doing.
Yeah.
You spray it onto the affected area, tar on the wheel, and all of a sudden it starts to dissolve.
Bleed, dissolve.
I think dissolve is probably the best word. And then it's just simple, just wiping away.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it for just the tonic. It really is a great product.
And then afterwards, you'd use Purple Rain.
You use Purple Rain, yeah.
And then after, would you use the clay?
So what you...
But in between all these processes, would...
Jet wash each rinse. Time.
You would rinse
your wheel.
Rinse prints.
Not rinse your rim.
So clay, obviously that will remove the embedded... contaminants, can't even speak. Contaminants off the wheel.
Yeah.
Front of the wheel, front of the spokes, pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got a lovely, clean decontaminated wheel.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's on for a rinse and calf. What we doing next?
I don't know at this point. Okay. So once you've decontaminated your wheel, you give it that final rinse. Again, depending on whether the wheels are on or off, the next process will be to dry the wheels. So there's a couple of options for this. You can use a drying towel that you've specifically dedicated to your wheels. A lot of people will do this by sort of degrading the towels over time. So a towel that starts off as a paintweight drying towel may be relegated after a few uses or, you know, a dozen uses down to wheels, maybe door shuts, things like that. Or you can do like we do and use a blower. So we use a dedicated detailing blower. So it's used for blowing moisture out of inaccessible places. I was going to say nooks and crannies, but you know.
Yeah, nooks and crannies.
Inaccessible places. So around the wheel nuts, inside the wheel itself, the areas that you can't actually get with a drying towel. Obviously, if you remove the wheels, then, you know, you could just dry them with your dedicated drying towel. The important thing to note at this point as well is when you are doing the wheels, so once you've cleaned the wheels or you think you've cleaned the wheels, it's always a good idea to move the vehicle about half a wheel turn. If you don't do this, 9 times out of 10, you'll get the vehicle indoors or, you know, you'll finish the vehicle, you'll go out for a drive somewhere and you'll notice that you've missed bits on the wheels. Normally the top of the wheel. I'm looking at Nick when I'm saying this. So check your wheels.
Check your wheels. Nobody wants, you know, a lovely clean wheel, 3/4 of a clean wheel.
No, mate.
Dirty, do they, Nick?
No.
We don't want that, do we, Nick?
First day, one, I did your Beamer. First day?
Not the first time.
First time, yeah. And probably to the present day as well, Kev, to be honest.
The best one was when you washed his BMW. And I came out after work and he was down there.
That's
by
I mean.
Production, I think it pressure was washing it off himself.
I think it was my first day and I think Robin gave it me. He said, you got the boss's car to do. And I was like, okay. And then 2 minutes later, he texted me going, you best bring some biscuits in. I was like, what? So? And then you sent me the photos. I was like, oh dear.
Yeah, but I don't think he cleaned around his nuts correctly.
No, I didn't.
That was part of the problem.
And I don't think I cleaned the rim very well either.
My nuts and rim were filthy.
You were?
It's all because of you.
I know.
I never forgive you.
Because I didn't like your BMW, that was why.
Moving on before I start to go into another story that's a bit more different than that.
Ooh, there's my BMW. Many stories.
Hang on the wall.
Anyway, yeah, that one.
Let's move on. Okay, so we've got a lovely, clean, decontaminated, dry wheel, tyre, etc. So we're ready for kind of sealing now, aren't we, really?
Yep, so you've then got two options. There are sealing products you can use. There's also a couple of different products you can use in terms of you just want to give them a light clean, a light polish, but we'll talk specifically about sealing. So we have our Blends wheel sealant, which is a high temperature wheel sealant that you can use to protect your wheels. Two coats of that normally last you around about 6-7 months. Takes approximately 10 minutes to apply. Really easy. If you know how to wax a vehicle, then you can definitely apply this product. And it's just makes the wheel much, much easier to clean going forward.
Next time, yeah.
Yeah. So, again, with a lot of areas in detailing, it's when you first get a vehicle, especially if it's not a brand new vehicle, you know, if you buy a used vehicle, the first time you wash it, detail it, valet it, whatever you want to call it, is going to be the most difficult. So that's the point where you're going to use the most products. You know, you might be using your more aggressive options like your vergeri acid, a strong dilution of citrus wash, and things like that. And then obviously once that's then done, you put your layers of protection on whatever you're covering, so whether it's the paintwork, the wheels, makes them much easier to clean. And the next time you do it, you're using a lot less aggressive products, and you're probably going to use less products as well.
Okay.
So it just makes it easier for yourself.
Right, okay. So I've got a question then to Nick.
Go for it.
Are you awake?
I'm awake, yeah.
So if, you know, I've done all this, you know, cleaned, decontaminated everything, I've dried everything, I'm ready to put a sealant on, and I notice my wheels are, shall we say, a little bit tarnished. Okay, a little bit tarnished, some kind of very, very fine swirling in there. If I wanted to get that up, if I wanted to kind of rejuvenate that, what would I use?
You could either use one of our cutting compounds. So 90% of the time we'd use Enrich, which is our medium cut compound. If you didn't have that at hand, mm-hmm. And you had cherry glaze that you could use on your body weight on a weekly basis,
yeah.
You could use cherry glaze.
Yeah, cherry glaze is very, very easy to product to use.
Yet again, a lot goes a long way. Mm-hmm. We are trying to see to all the customers,
yeah.
Everything that you use.
Less is more,
yeah.
Less is more.
Are you awake over there, Kev? No, don't think so.
He just nodded his head. Okay, so if I want to kind of rejuvenate my spokes on my car, whether it be in black or, I don't know, powder coated or silver, whatever, I can get some cherry glaze.
Yeah.
Okay. Get some Enrich if... There's a fair few.
If it was a lot, then I'd go Enrich. But if it was only light swirl marks, cherry glaze
would be ideal.
And then you could apply Blends wheel sealant on top of that.
Okay. Right. That kind of sorts the sealing out then,
mm-hmm.
of the wheels.
Just another little bit of a thing where Nick was talking then about polishing the wheels is if you've got wheels that are coloured in terms of, you know, the black or the gloss, chances are that's going to be really, really soft, hence the reason that they swirl so easily. So something like Enrich by hand will probably be enough to remove quite a few of those swirls and defects. So it's definitely a good option to go with.
That's a good option.
Very good option.
Right.
Rechange.
Now, this kind of next topic, you know, everybody kind of gets really wrapped up in this topic. It's basically tyre dressing. Now, you know, whether you like a nice high gloss on your tyres or you kind of want to, you know, a bit of a satin finish, or you leave them natural, there's many, many ways that we can, you know, dress these tyres, treat these tyres. And Kev now is going to talk about a few products here and how to use them to get the best results. Kev, first of all, my question to you is, what is your favourite AD tyre dressing?
My favourite current AD tyre dressing, I would probably say, is Dungeon Master.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Too late. Dungeon Master.
Basically, it's a really nice, easy-to-use dressing. It's quite thin, so it's very, very difficult to get any sling with Dungeon Master. It's a non-silicon tire dressing, so suitable for use on motorcycles as well. And it gives you a really nice sort of new look tire. You can layer it. So, you know, one coat will give you an as new look tire. Second coat will give you a slightly more glossy finish, but it's not a really high gloss tire dressing. Tire dressings tends to be trends with tire dressings. So, you know, for a long time, everyone wanted the glossiest tire dressing possible. Then the glossy sort of look falls out of favor a little bit. Now people are going for more sort of satin or matte tire dressings. But, you know, for me personally, I do like a nice new look, you know, fresh look rubber.
Yeah. Bit of a satin finish then, really.
Yeah. Nothing better than fresh rubber.
Fresh rubber. Nick, what do you like and why?
Well, I was going to say Dungeon Master, but my fellow ex-colleague over there used that one instead, didn't he? Thanks, Kev.
Ex-colleague.
Hold on. He's never in the bait, is he? So he's my ex-colleague, you know. Yeah.
Well, he does want your job, Kev.
I'm having your job.
Whatever. Hold on. We've got to have a watch name for that, Nick.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Hey, there you go. So Dungeon Master, so that's your favourite then, is it?
Yeah, okay. Well, Kev said Dungeon Master, so I'll go well-dressed.
No, you go with whatever you want,
I'll go well-dressed.
Right.
Which is our tyre and trim dressing.
Okay. My favourite, is somebody going to ask me? No? Okay.
Mark, what's your favourite tyre dressing?
Well, Nick, do you know my favourite is well-dressed? have I got a button here for the ejector seat?
No.
I'm going to press it. We can put that in for the next podcast, I think.
Yeah, we can. So mine...
Trapdoor.
That's it, just everyone's laughing at you now.
It really wasn't that funny. And if you mess with my buttons again...
Don't push the boss's buttons.
I'll chop your fingers off. No, but my I think my favourite... I do like Dungeon Master. You know, it's a very, very simple product to use. But I think my overall best product is well-dressed. Now, for me, I'm all for the glossy looks on tyres. I think gloss is my personal favourite. I think it's what I like. A lot of people, though, when they're using a gloss tyre dressing, is they kind of use way too much, which causes tyre sling and all the horrible kind of dots of tyre products all over the bottom of the car, which is not
dust sticking to it and sticking to it.
So there is a certain way to apply a gloss tyre dressing, and that obviously that is to layer it.
That's why well dressed is so versatile and better to use, really. Well, than Dungeon Master, because you can apply it and it sticks to the tyre.
Yeah, it just goes on pretty easy to do. I think with well dressed though, the ideal. Ideal coating for that is like a dust. I've always said like a dust coating, so a very, very thin layer on the tyre. Okay, and by the time you've done all four tyres, you come back to the first one, and then it's dry and it's ready for the second coat. So a second coat to kind of gloss it up. You don't need a lot of well dressed. If you put a lot of well dressed on a tyre, then unfortunately, you might get the tyre sling, which nobody wants.
A lot of it's down to actual the amount of time that you let it sit as well.
Yeah.
So most people will put a really thick coat on because they want to get it looking glossy as quickly as possible. Then 5 minutes later, they'll jump in the car and drive off.
Yeah.
If you're putting a thick coat on, it's going to take a lot longer for that to bond to the tyre.
Mm-hmm.
So my sort of recommendation would be if you put a really thick coat on, I'd then go around with a microfiber towel and just get rid of the excess if you are planning on driving off, pretty soon.
Yeah.
Same, like I say, with thin coats. It's a bit like painting your walls at home. You wouldn't get a paintbrush or a roller, absolutely cover it in paint and just whack it on the wall.
You get covered. Well, everything
goes everywhere. Yeah. So you put your first sort of base coat on, you leave that 20 minutes, an hour, whatever, come back, second coat on, you build it up in layers. And then, once you've done that and the tyre's dressed, the next time you wash it, again, you've protected it, so it shouldn't have picked up quite as much dirt. It'll be a little bit easier to clean. And then you can just reapply your chosen tyre dressing thinly on a regular basis rather than, absolutely slapping it on.
Because, of course, when you do apply it too thick, it kind of, it sits in the writing on the side wall of the tyre. Mm-hmm. It kind of sits in there and all of a sudden, if you leave it too long, it just drips.
Yeah, that's something else you'll notice. You'll come back and obviously there'll be, you know, runs down the tyre and it'll be all over the wheel. And so using the correct application method is quite important with tyres as well. So, you know, going back to the sort of the Valting days, it was always a brush.
Yeah, it was.
So it was a brush and a bucket or, a, you know, 5 litre or whatever.
Yeah.
And depending on the tyre direction you're using for a, you know, for a Valter, that's probably an easy way of doing it. It's a quick way of doing it. But for a proper sort of detailed lick finish, you've got to be using a correct applicator. So a foam applicator is much better for tyre dressings. And obviously that's one of the few products as well that we don't tend to clean out after we've used it. So if you're using an applicator just for tyre dressings, that's all it is.
That's all you use it for.
Once it gets full of dressing, then, you know, you may want to just give it a rinse out and just leave it to dry a little bit. But you can't, you wouldn't want to go putting that in your washing machine with your microfiber drying towels and, you know, all your other bits. But yeah, definitely a dedicated foam applicator is the best way to go.
Obviously our waffle applicator. And obviously that goes for tyre gloss as well. You know, tyre gloss is a more, it's a thinner liquid, thinner than well-dressed.
I was waiting for you. I don't know if you're waiting for me to confirm or you were talking to me or the listeners.
A bit of both. So tyre gloss is obviously a thinner liquid, not as thick as well-dressed, but again, you know, waffle applicator, or you can apply it with a brush, but I think the secret is you don't apply too much.
Yeah, I mean, tyre gloss is really high gloss as well, but that's one of the products that we use a lot when we're doing our sort of valting services. So if we're doing, you know, a standard exterior wash and dressing the tyres, tyre gloss is the one we use quite regularly. If we're doing commercial vehicles, so something with really high sidewalls, we may use something like Super Sheen, which, you know, you can spray directly onto the tyre.
Which kind of brings me to Super Sheen now. So we've cleaned the wheel, you know, we've deconned it, we've sealed the wheels, maybe a little bit of polish just to get the flake up and the paint on the wheels, and then we've dressed the tyres. Now, that leaves one thing. That leaves the
arches,
the undressed arches.
Sorry, I just woke up then.
You woke up now.
Go back to sleep?
Okay.
So our particular good product for arches is Super Sheen. Nick, yes. Would you like to explain what Super Sheen is?
Super Sheen is a silicone dressing.
Okay.
For your arches. Your engine bay, you can use it on your engine bay as well. Anywhere realistically that you want to make it look nice and shiny.
Plastic rubbers.
You know, your plastic rubbers. You can use it on anywhere for, you know, making your plastic trims nice and glossy again. I'd personally use it best, but you know, you can still use Super Sheen for it.
Okay, I mean, you can use Super Sheen on tyres as well, but, you know, tyre gloss is kind of the dedicated tyre dressing. Super Sheen is...
You used to use Super Sheen on the trucks.
So, you know, you've cleaned your wheel, decon or whatever, and you've got a nice clean arch. Well, there's nothing better than putting a bit of Super Sheen on that to finish it off. It's just a spray. You know, you spray it into the arch, leave it dry, and it comes up like new. It's like a brand new arch.
Making sure you do spray it inside the arch. Don't want to try and get it on the bodywork.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, it's a silicone dressing. Yeah. So what you don't want to do is, you know, you've cleaned all your car or you've, you know, you don't want to be getting any sort of all of your windows or the overspray. You want it in the arch as much as you can go, and then all around, make sure you cover all the area.
If not, you can always spray it onto an applicator or a brush so it's easier to apply it to the arch.
That's right.
And your engine bay.
And it smells of vanilla.
It does smell quite nice, actually. But again, the important thing as well is not to over-apply it.
Yeah.
So if you are coating your arch or you're dressing your arch and you do spray too much product, you will get runs. So a light dusting is all that's required. Just keep an eye out then, obviously, just in case you do get any runs. You can go back and wipe them with just a microfiber towel. Same with engine bays. So, you know, it works pretty well on engine bays as well. Spray it on, light dust coating, leave it to set, and then come back, and then you can buff it. So if you want a slightly less glossy finish, you can give it a buff with a microfiber or to get rid of any streaks.
Brilliant. So
we started off talking about wheels, and now we're on engine bays.
On engine bays. So that'll wait for another episode. So that's it then. So we've finished off with Super Sheen, and everything's looking lovely. Everything's clean, everything's new looking, and a great finish.
Well, it's been a pretty long podcast so far, so I think we should just recap the main points. So, starting with the wheels, Nick, what's the first thing you do on the wheels?
You clean the arches first, Gav.
You were listening then.
I was listening, see. I wasn't just asleep all the way through it.
Okay, so you've cleaned the arches. What's the first thing you do the wheels now?
You would jet wash off the wheels to remove the top layer.
Loose contamination.
Loose contamination, yep. Of the...
Then you would use your chosen wheel cleaner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whichever one you want.
Whichever one you want, yeah. With your dedicated brushes. So well, that's a large spoke brush, small spoke brush, DBS brush.
Mach 7s.
Mach 7s, even though we no longer do them.
Oh, yeah.
No, Nick. Not the Mach 7s. Not on this occasion, no.
Okay, so unfortunately. Another little bit of a tip we haven't covered. What do you use in your wheels bucket? So we mentioned that we use a bucket with your brushes.
Grit
so
guard.
What's in your bucket?
Grit guard.
Not essential, but yeah, okay. So you've got a grit guard in the bucket.
You've got your tools, so your big spoke brush, your mini brush, your four-finger mitts, your DBS brushes, and then a wheel shampoo.
Ah, okay. So you've got water.
So here's a weight then.
You've got water and a shampoo.
Sorry, yeah, forgot. Sorry, water as well. Don't forget water. Okay.
So what's the purpose behind the shampoo? Why is there a shampoo in there? What would you like me to? I will enlighten you. So
lubrication, Nick.
You know all about lubrication.
Yeah, I do.
So we put some shampoo in the wheels bucket. Essentially, if you've got some well maintained wheels, the shampoo will provide a bit of lubrication. It will clean quite effectively as well in conjunction with your wheel cleaner. But the main reason that we put a little bit of shampoo in the wheels bucket is to clean your brushes. Between wheels.
Yeah.
Ooh. I didn't know that.
No one likes a dirty brush.
I normally just kind of jet wash them off after each wheel. Or was that just the...
That's a Nick thing.
Is that just the me thing? That's probably just the me thing. Yeah, don't do me. Oh, there you go. There it is.
My sound effect was better.
Yeah, your sound effect was better.
Might have didn't have a big ding-dong bell at the end. So... Yep, so we've done the wheels bucket, you've done your brushes, then you'd rinse, then we go on to tyres. So you've got your tyres with your citrus wash and your Hellshine brush, so that's your short brush. Give them a nice scrub, rinse them off.
If not short brush, then a harder brush.
Yep, depending on how dirty the tyre is, you might want to use a stiffer brush. Something like, you could use one of the leather brushes or even sort of like a nail brush or something.
If the tyre isn't that dirty, technically you could use your DBS brush.
Yeah, you could do. Yeah,
you know what I mean? So the dedicated DBS brush.
However, I would be a little bit careful of doing that just because you don't want to get your DBS brush absolutely covered in dirt and debris from the tyres.
No, yeah.
Especially if you've got sensitive wheels. So if you've got, you know, powder coated wheels or gloss black wheels, you might want to use a separate brush just for tyres.
Yeah.
Just to avoid cross contamination.
I think the brush I'd use is the Hellshine short wheel brush.
Yeah.
The tyre brush, basically. Yeah. That's a particularly good brush to use.
The Hellshine Short Reach Brush.
That's the one.
Is its official title, I believe.
That's the one.
The Hellshine range of brushes are actually quite a new addition to the product range as well. And I believe we've got short reach, we've got a long reach, and we've also got a multi-purpose brush.
We have.
Which can be used for a lot of different variety of purposes, engine bays, really good for motorcycles, and can also be used as pad cleaning brush.
Mm. Yeah, we'll go into more of that. And
maybe a toothbrush.
Why'd you look at me?
I don't know. You're directly opposite me.
Both of you looked at me then.
I think I'm going to get you one for your Christmas present as a toothbrush.
As a toothbrush.
Don't forget your toothbrush.
Oh dear.
Should have it for Christmas.
Anyway, so after that, Nick, we're on to the last steps, which are decontamination or decon, as Mark keeps saying throughout this podcast today.
Decon.
And what does decon consist of?
Tar removal. Fallout removal,
yep.
Which is purple rain, and then clay to remove any embedded contaminants on the wheels.
Okay, so
beautiful.
You don't need to do clay every time you wash your wheels, obviously.
No.
You probably don't need to do tar and glue removal every time you wash your wheels either. Purple rain depends on the mileage you cover, where the vehicle's parked, etc. But purple rain, normally I'd recommend maybe using once a month. It's not something you need to use every time you wash your car. The clay bar essentially as well is that's it serves a similar purpose to Purple Rain, but it's a lot better at removing heavily bonded contamination. Purple Rain is for removing the lightly bonded contamination that's on the surface mainly. And then once we've done the decon, we can rinse and dry.
Then seal.
And then seal.
Don't forget seal. And dress.
And I think then we've covered everything with wheels.
We've covered everything with wheel and arches now. For cleaning, decon and dress.
That's sorry, it. I seal can go and dress. Away and clean a wheel properly now.
There you go.
It's been always handed.
Every day's a school day.
It is, especially for me.
Yeah, he's normally sat at the back of the class.
Yeah. Rocking on my chair.
With a pointy hat on.
Throwing things at the next person.
Yeah.
Sticking a pencil up his nose.
Yeah, right, okay.
You don't get much abuse when you're working, do you, Nick?
No, mate, I don't. Yes.
You get it all day long.
I do.
That's what she said. You're lucky. I had to get one in.
I know, it's only taken like 4 to get one in.
So as well, guys, you know, just remember, again, this is our first technical podcast. So if we've got things a little bit backwards, blame Nick.
Because I am backwards.
We do.
We were pretty well geared up for doing this till Nick dropped in for us. So I think we'll...
Don't worry, this is my only podcast.
Yay! So we're back to Mark, and let's see if he's got any good news for us.
I have some good news.
The Daisy Sandera?
No. No.
Trademarked to get sued by Top Gear now.
Oh, yeah, I never thought about that one.
Yeah. Good news.
So, where is it?
Tell me good news. So, recent situation at the minute, COVID and things happening.
That's not good news.
That's not good news, but it's leading up to the good news.
Okay.
Our retail shop store is closed at the moment due to, COVID and adhering to government guidelines, etc. So we are reopening our shop.
Yay.
We're reopening our shop on...
A bit delayed, that was.
Sorry.
3rd of December, I do believe.
I believe so. I think the lockdown runs until the 2nd of December. So, yeah, I think we can reopen on the 3rd, which I think is a Thursday.
Thursday, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, we've obviously got rid of our sales, the massive sale we had in October. That's kind of gone now. It's all done now. With a record of 7,097 orders.
I don't believe you mentioned that.
No? I'll mention it again. 7,000. Sorry. Just let me say this. 7,097 orders. And we got them out in how many weeks, Nick?
Six
weeks. We did. We got them out in 6 weeks, which is absolutely amazing, considering we're not, we're very well known online retail.
We are a very well known online presence.
Yeah. And we're a really small
We're not a big online presence.
We're not really a big family, are we, really?
Well, there's 15 of us. So 15 got all their orders out within 6 weeks. And I think that's
15 people's a fairly big family.
Pretty damn really. Good.
It's not a very big business, but it's a very big family.
Not, not compared to like Tesco's or Morrison's, mate.
We're not mentioning names, company names.
Sorry.
Silly.
God, free advertising.
Sorry.
No. So
Starbucks. So the sales are over.
The sales are over.
Yay. Yeah. What's next on the agenda?
Christmas sale.
Sorry. We're not having a Christmas sale. So
that door will open and then Jill will come in and slap you across the forehead.
Will, yeah. So I think, you know, we've kind of, we've done the big sales. We've kind of chilled a little bit, would you say? Kind of chilling a little bit? And
no.
Then,
no.
No? Okay.
Some people might have been chilling. We haven't been chilling.
Must be me then.
Yeah, it must be you.
So I think we're gearing up for Christmas now, aren't we? We're gearing up for our Christmas. We've got a few things happening at Christmas. I think we're doing a very special video.
We've got plenty of things in the pipeline for Christmas. Although... As Mark says, we're not chilling.
We're
taking advantage of the slight little bit of extra free time that we've got to put things into motion for Christmas. So obviously we've got the advent calendar giveaways coming up throughout Christmas. So anyone who's been following us for a while will know about our Christmas advent giveaways. So that's always something worth watching. We've also got a video that we're doing, which is going to be our Christmas promotional video.
Christmas promotional, Christmas message video, I think.
A Christmas message.
Christmas, I like that, Christmas message.
And I believe we've got a really important person to star in our Christmas video.
Oh, we did?
Oh.
We did.
Well, and then he dropped out, so we had to get somebody else.
Well, he's made a mess of this podcast, so he's gone now.
So So the person we've got, hopefully starring in this video, depending on what his work is like over the next few weeks.
That's right.
He really likes Christmas, don't you, Nick?
I surely do, mate.
Superstar Nick.
Can't wait for the 25th of December.
Could you, let's just tell everybody while we're talking about this, Nick. Okay. How much do you love Christmas?
I love Christmas more than our Christmas sale.
Which we're not having.
No, sorry, not Christmas sale, but our, you know, yearly sale.
Are you saying you didn't like our sale?
Yeah, but Christmas is like 3,000 times better.
Yeah, that's not what you said earlier on, Nick.
But humbug, I think was your words earlier.
I think it was, yeah.
Okay, I don't like Christmas.
Actually, probably worse than that. It's something I can't repeat to our listening public.
So yeah, by the end of our Christmas message video, Nick, you will love Christmas.
Yes.
We're going to force you to love Christmas.
You're going to be like the Scrooge. You're going to be like Scrooge.
I am the Grinch.
Yeah, you are.
A little bit more fugly like.
But you're going to be a happy Grinch. You'll love it. Trust us.
Trust us.
I do not trust any of you.
Okay, so I think that's the end of the good news for now. Okay.
Good news. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a few products in the pipeline.
Yeah, we'll talk.
But you know, we don't give too much away. Our focus at the minute is Christmas.
It is.
And hopefully, we can all have a nice Christmas. However, you know, we may have a nice 5-day Christmas, depending on what the regulations are at the time.
That's right. But you know, we've been through a lot. Everybody has. You know, this year. Just
ready for a bit of a break.
We are ready for Christmas. Christmas is great.
Some family time the people that we can see.
Yeah. That's it, yeah. So we'll talk about we'll talk about more things we've got coming up on the next podcast and whatnot. But so that's the end of the good news.
Good news.
Good news.
It's done with.
We're done.
Done.
Nick.
Yes.
Did you like it?
Loved it.
Your first podcast.
Yeah. Put me under pressure, literally. Don't start singing.
Bad news. Nick might be back in a future podcast.
And on that note.
On that note, everyone goes unsubscribe, unsubscribe.
So, okay, so thanks, guys. Thank you, Nicholas.
Thank you, Kevin. I mean, Mark.
I think we better wrap it up before anything else goes wrong.
I think we have. So thanks a lot, Kev.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for making our podcast, memorable one.
No worries, Dale.
thanks to all the listeners that have listened and tuned into this podcast today.
I apologise for Nick.
Apologise for Nick, of course, yeah.
I apologise for myself.
And don't forget, you know, if you see this podcast, it's available now on Apple Podcasts. It's available on Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud.
Podbean,
you name it. It's kind of everywhere at the minute. So if you kind of listen to it, give it a like. If you can do, give it a review. That would be fantastic.
Yep.
So until the next one, thanks for listening, everyone. And we hope you've enjoyed this podcast, this episode.
This very informative, if slightly disjointed podcast.
Yes.
So I think on that note, I'm going to give us all a round of applause.
Thank you.
And I'm going to say goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye, folks.
Tune in next time to the Autobrite Direct podcast.
Because looks are everything. Get down.